Morning. You guys can be seated this morning. I am so glad that you're here. Man, what an incredible time of worship together. And I have to say this every time I get up here because it's so true and it's so a part of me. I love our church and I love you guys, and you guys are the best in the world. So it's always an honor for me to get to bring the Word of God to you this morning. And every time I get up here and do this, I'm humbled by the opportunity, because I look out here and see such an incredible group of people. And man, surrounded by such godliness out here. And so I feel blessed to be able to share with you this morning. And we're starting off a new series called Healthy Marriage. And this is one of those series that we're excited to do. We haven't talked about marriage in a couple of years. But as a pastor, and we get calls at the office, and sometimes people say, hey, can we come talk to you? And marriage is the number one request that we get for help. People, as we go through life, it's one of the most challenging things that we do, I think, in life. If we have chosen to take that path and be a married couple, there's all kinds of obstacles and challenges, especially in our culture today, that would oppose what we're trying to do and what God has called us to do as married couples. And so we wanted to start a series. We're going to go all through the month of May and be talking about healthy marriage and what that looks like, and to try to set that up for a great summer. Because your schedules are about to change, whether you're involved in the school system or not, or have kids at home or not. Summer's just different, right? And we have a lot of ins and outs and things going on, and we wanted to launch you into that season with some good tools for how to relate with each other. Now, I want to say this before we dive in. The principles that we're talking about, because I understand that not everybody in the room is married, right? That we've got single people here in our church that are living that life, and that's where you're at right now. And so I don't want you to tune me out. Could I ask that as a favor? Can you turn your ears back on? You may have already tuned me out. Hello, hello. If you already tuned me out, if you're single, this is still for you, because we're going to be talking about healthy relationships, some tools that will help you in the relationships that you find yourself in your life as well. These are universal. It applies to all of us, whether you're single or unmarried, divorced, young, old, everybody. These things that we're going to be talking about over the next 4 weeks are for you. We're going to be talking about relationship principles, and today we're going to launch into this talking about we are different. So if I were to walk into my closet, and this has probably happened to you, I don't know. Walk into my closet this morning and I look in there, and there's a couple of different responses that comes when Jill's in the closet and I'm in the closet. Because she can walk in there and say, I have absolutely nothing to wear. And I'm looking and going, hanger, you know, there's tons of clothes in there. What she is saying is, I don't find anything that I feel good in, or that I look stylish today, or that feels like it's right for today, or that makes me feel beautiful, right? But when I go into the closet and I say, I have nothing to wear, it's because the laundry didn't get done and there is nothing in the drawer to put on, right? Two different things. We both said the same thing, but there's two different ways of looking at it. I've learned that there's other differences in the way that we communicate and words and the meaning that they have. So when Jill gets dressed and she, you know, is looking beautiful and comes out and says, how do I look in this? And I say, you look fine. See, you guys have gotten the clue, right? Maybe if I had said it like this, baby, you look fine. It would have communicated what I meant. But what she heard when I said, you look fine, is, couldn't you find something better, you know? Or I don't know. It took me a while to figure this one out, guys, okay? Or this one, maybe. I get a text on my phone. Where are you? Well, I think that's a geographical question, right? And so I used to work out in the country a lot, and I thought it was funny. I would reply back, I'm in Circleback, or I'm in Needmore, or I try to find these obscure little places on the map, right, that Jill had never heard of, because I thought that was funny. I didn't realize that she was not asking a geographical question. She was really saying, why are you not home? And when are you getting home? And so we say these things that are the same words, but we have different meanings. And so how does this happen? How do we communicate in these different terms? It all boils down to this. We have different lenses, different filters, different ways of hearing and seeing the world that we're in. Genesis 1:27 gives us a hint here. He said, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. You see, she's not wrong for not being a male. And he's not wrong for not being a female. God created us differently. Male and female. Different ideas, different ways of thinking, different ways of communicating, different ways of interpreting the world around us. And one's not better than the other, and one's not worse off than the other. They're just different. In fact, have you ever thought about this, how your gender actually and the uniqueness of it reveals characteristics of a creator who made you in his image? It says right there, it says that he made us male and female in his image. And that our masculinity and our femininity helps the other gender understand a concept or a portion of who God is and the incredible nature of God in a more full and complete way. You see, I believe that God revealed us. God is a relational God. And so he created male and female persons to be like him. And it opens up this possibility that men and women are to relate with one another in a way that resembles how the persons of the Trinity relate. That there's a uniqueness in our design and our makeup that help us understand the fullness of God. And maybe, just maybe, God gives us each other to help us get beyond ourselves, to get beyond our selfish nature and move towards revealing God himself in his wholeness, in his completeness, in his fullness to the world around us. You see, God's a relational God. Even in the Trinity, there is a relationship there between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that is going on all the time. And our marriages, when they're healthy, demonstrate who God is to the people around us. And so this morning we want to talk about, to have a healthy marriage, we must honor our differences. We must honor who we are uniquely created by God. And so if we're going to honor that, what does this word honor mean? It means, I think, more than to put up with each other. Because sometimes that's our temptation, right? As a man, I want to just put up with the differences that my wife has. And I see that as I'm just going to have to deal with it, right? That's a lot different than choosing to honor the way that God created her. You see, honor says I'm going to place value in, I'm going to learn to appreciate who God created her to be, and I'm going to place a lot of value in that and see that God created her that way on purpose because I need what she has, and she needs what I have. And so a healthy marriage is a path. It's something that we walk down the road of life. Jill and I have been walking this path for almost 24 years now, and we've covered a lot of territory, a lot of ground. And when I say 24 years, it sounds to me like a long time. And I understand some of you are way further down the path than we are and have a lot of experience that I would like to learn from. Would love to sit down with you and eat lunch. And some of you are just beginning that path, and you're in the newly married part of your relationship. But here's what I've learned along the way. You see, I really believe that being married is quite simple. And you might laugh at that when you think about it. And there's a difference here. I didn't say it was easy. I said it's pretty simple. The characteristics that we're going to talk about over the next 4 weeks are pretty simple, but they're a little bit challenging to walk out sometimes. Because you see, many times what attracts us to our spouse in the first place, when we think back, way back when we fell in love and when we saw how beautiful the other one was and how awesome they were, and there was an attraction there that developed. And a lot of times it was the difference that we saw in that person from who we were. And we saw that, man, they've got something that I really don't have or that I struggle with. I'd like to have that. Or there's just something unique about them and I'd love to bring that into my who I am. And there's all kinds of books written on this. You know, there's Mars versus Venus. And I found one the other day called Clams versus Crowbars. And I was like, what does that mean? You know, and they were saying that men are like clams, you know, we're like shut, and women are always trying to pry us open, right, to get some information out. I don't know, I don't think I'm going to read that one, but. And so, you know, back when Jill and I first got married, she was relating one of these things to me. She thought it was really cool about me. Because she grew up in a military family, and their family was very structured according to time. Everything, in fact, when we talked about when to have dinner at night, she said, we ate at 5:03 every day. I'm like, wow, 5:03? Really? And we learned along the way that I grew up eating when it's dark. Because I grew up on a farm. You didn't eat supper until it was got dark and you came home. And, you know, she would cook dinner and have it ready at 5:03, and I didn't show up for 4 hours. You know, that caused some conflict in our relationship. But one of the things that she said she loved about me was my more relaxed view on time. Because she had grown up in such a rigid, strict environment that she appreciated the fact that, you know, that I wasn't stressed out about time. I didn't really pay attention to time. I didn't wear a watch, you know. I still don't wear a watch. And I kind of flowed with it. But the more that we stayed in relationship together, the more that we have lived together, it's gotten a little bit annoying sometimes that I'm a little less structured on time than she is. And so the very thing that she thought was attractive, you know, 24 years ago, is not as attractive today as it was back then. So these differences, right, that we see in our relationships that drew us together in the beginning that we thought were so cool can actually start to drive us apart over time. You know, one of the huge differences between men and women is how they receive and express value for the other person. There was a survey that was done several years ago. 7,000 people were asked, when you're in conflict with your spouse, do you feel unloved in that moment or disrespected? And 83% of men said disrespected. And 72% of women said unloved. And so we see that there's a difference in the response there. And we'll talk a little bit more about that from the scripture in just a minute. But we get to this place sometimes in our relationship where rather than seeing these differences as a compliment to each other, we see them as a complaint, right? I'm tired of you being that way. I would rather you be like me. And rather than grinning in the face of these obstacles or these differences, we're now griping about them. And we find if we don't honor our differences, the same thing that drew us together can actually and eventually push us apart. And so our big idea today is this: we must honor our differences. I read this quote the other day from a guy named Larry Crabb. He said this, before God's Spirit pours Christ's life into us, selfishness is the primary energy in the human soul. Now today, all of us who are believers are Spirit-filled Christians. We have been filled with God's Spirit. And so that now we have a challenge to look at our lives differently, to look out for what the Spirit wants in our relationships and not what we want for ourselves. If fear and misunderstanding can drive us apart, then I believe that trust and understanding can bring us back together. Now, I'm making some assumptions this morning, and I want to be real clear about that, some disclaimers as we get in and talk about these things. I'm assuming that as we're talking about marriage, that both people are interested in good intention in this relationship, that they're good-willed towards each other, that they both want a great marriage to make that happen. Because you see, both people in the relationship have to be willing to do everything that it takes to have a healthy marriage. If one of us is not on board with having a relationship that works, it's not going to work. It's going to be really, really challenging. And so I'm also assuming that you're not in a relationship that's abusive or filled with an addictive lifestyle. And if you do find yourself in that case this morning, I want to encourage you to go beyond just hearing a sermon this morning, but actually reaching out and getting some professional help. Because there are points in our relationships where we need to go beyond what we can do ourselves and get somebody to come in and help us work through some of those deep issues that we may be dealing with. And so I want to invite you to do that. Call the church office. We can set up an appointment with one of our pastors. We can refer you to a professional counselor. And guys, that is an investment to make into your relationship that will bear incredible returns. I know that counseling sounds like it's super expensive and it's not affordable. But when you're sick, do you say the doctor is too expensive and so I'm not going to go and get treated? No, you find out a way to pay for it, right? You figure it out. And counseling is a lot the same way. If you're in that dire of a situation, there are resources available, and it is an investment that I encourage you to take. Okay, that's my disclaimers. I want to jump into a couple of these differences this morning. Ephesians 5:33 says this, "Each of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." So this is talking about a difference between love and respect, the different ways that we communicate, the differences between men and women. You see, the author there said that a husband must love his wife, and a wife must respect her husband because we need different things. It's not that either one of us don't need love or either one of us don't need respect. It's just that when we dive into a conflict or when we find ourselves in that relationship, one of those tends to outweigh the other one with regard to gender. So when a wife feels unloved, she negatively reacts with disrespect towards her husband. And likewise, when a husband feels disrespected in his life, he acts in an unloving way to his wife often. And so if we hope that we have a healthy relationship, we've got to recognize that there's a difference in how we respond to one another. And we've got to see that our spouse may need something different than we need. And we've got to recognize that and be willing to give them what they need. We've got to honor our differences. We've got to recognize these things and value the difference in our spouse. Another difference is this, the extrovert versus introvert difference. And I know I don't have a scripture that points us towards that, but it's a common difference that we found in people. And it's one of those things that honestly, a lot of times opposites attract, right? So a real introverted guy really likes a girl that is just out there. She's a lot of fun and she, makes his life a whole lot better than being sitting on the couch, you know, all day long. And I may fall off the stage if I trip on that thing. And so there's this difference, right? And we see an opposite attract there. And the reality is that we've got to be sensitive to that and the other because extroverts are refueled by being with people. Introverts, it's not that they don't like people, right? In fact, I'm an introvert. I love people. It's part of my personality. But introverts are refueled by being alone. And one of those is not better than the other. They're just different. For instance, in our marriage, Jill and I actually are both introverts by nature. And so we both have jobs that involve a lot of interaction with people during the day. We have a lot of meetings, we have a lot of conversations, we have a lot of giving of ourselves in our careers. And so if we're not careful, we will find that we spend all of our energy at work during the day. And when we get home at night, I go to my man cave and she goes to her she shed or whatever that thing's called. You know, I'm the one with the shed, just to clarify there. But you know what I mean? We'll get home at the end of the day and we'll totally ignore each other because we've used all of our energy on other people during the day and we didn't save any for our marriage. We didn't save any for our relationship. On the opposite, you know, a lot of times I can see how there would be even more conflict if one was extroverted and one was introverted and you get to the end of the day and one wants to talk and the other one doesn't want to say a word and there's a clash there because they feel unloved or disrespected. You see how these things work together? And so we've got to figure out who our spouse is and honor that difference. Because neither one of them is right or wrong. Neither one of them is better or worse. They're just different. They're just the way that God created us. And so we've got to honor these differences. The next one is love languages. I've learned that people receive love in different ways over the years. There's like these five different ways that people receive love: physical touch, words of affirmation, acts of service, gifts, quality time. And most of us, by default, we express love in the language that we like to receive love. And we forget to pay attention that our spouse might be a little bit different than us. One of the ways that I, you know, stumbled into this was early in our marriage. I had observed other married couples, and it seemed to me that the normal thing for married couples to do was hold hands in public and have these public displays of affection, right? To be lovey-dovey and walk down the road, you know, down the road together and those kinds of things. I didn't recognize or understand that Jill is not a physical touch kind of person. That didn't make her feel loved in the moment. It made her embarrassed, you know, because she had been taught you don't do that in public. Well, I didn't know that, so it took us a little while to figure that out, right, to walk through that. In fact, I'm still learning this. You know, Jill recently told me, she reminded me of this conversation that we were having the other day, and she said, you know, I really think that my love language is changing a little bit, and I really like words of affirmation more than I have in the past. And my response was, oh, that's cool. And I went on. She totally gave me a clue, like led me right to it and said, I would really like some words of affirmation, right? Woo, it went right over my head. I totally missed it, right? She actually wanted me to give her some words of affirmation in that moment, and I was oblivious. Because I thought her love language was one of these others, right? I knew her. I had it down. And so I missed my opportunity. None of these are wrong. None of them are right. I mean, they're just different. You know, when you go to a foreign country, like Kelly was talking about earlier, you don't expect those people in that country to speak your language, right? When you show up overseas, you don't expect them to speak English if it's a Spanish-speaking country, right? You have to adapt yourself to fit into that culture. It's the same way. A wise person learns to speak their spouse's language. Guys, let me clue you in here. If you haven't realized, talking to your wife is like going into a foreign country, right? It's different. It's really different. It's a whole different culture at work there, right? And so you've got to spend the time and effort and energy it takes to understand that culture and to speak that language and to figure out what she's like and how she communicates and how she does life. If you hope to be successful and make an impact and make a difference in that culture. Women, it's the same way. Guys just speak a different language. And we've got to honor our differences. Learn how to appreciate those differences in each other. Learn how to value what God has put into our spouse. There's, you know, all kinds of different personalities, right? I'm not going to elaborate on this. You look at different personalities type, you know, the DISC profile or Myers-Briggs or the Enneagram thing is popular these days. There's all different tools that are out there to look at the different personality types and how we interact. And I want to just say this without going into a lot of it. It is worth your time to invest some time and effort and energy into learning about those things, to taking some of those assessments to figure out. It's one of those tools that helps you learn their language, so to speak. And so make use of that, because these personality differences that we find in our spouse are not wrong. They're just different. And so we've got to learn how to speak that language so that we can honor our differences and value the other person. Because you see, if we don't understand our differences, then two people who began madly in love with one another will end up just simply being mad. And there's a deeper purpose in our marriages and meeting each other's needs. You see, we do this relationship, this marriage, as unto the Lord. The Christ follower should look at marriage differently than the normal, average, everyday person. This partnership that we have empowers and it prepares us to model God and His kingdom to the world around us. And so we find that getting on this path to honoring one another really does bring about change in our world, because people see that you're different and they see your love demonstrated and they understand God because of it. And so how do we do this? How do we learn how to honor each other? I've got three things real quick to help us along that path. We've got to learn how to decode each other differently. We've got to understand these differences. You see, you have to give your spouse what they need rather than what you need. Like I said, we usually speak our own love language. We usually do what's good for us, and we make this assumption wrongly that it will be good for them. But we've got to step back a little bit and look at what is their needs. What are they like? What makes them feel loved? What makes them feel respected? What makes them feel valued? And we've got to learn how to modify ourselves to enter into that relationship and meet them somewhere in the middle so that we can find some common ground. Number two, we decide to get rid of selfishness. It's really basically the same as number one, just a different way to say it because I figured you needed it twice. Galatians 6, 2 through 3 says this, "Share each other's burdens and in this way obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important." Wow, that version's a little rough. Guys, figure out a way to help around the house. Wives, figure out what helps your guy. Jill does this a lot. She asks, "How can I help you?" And for a long time, I've been saying, "I don't need help. I don't know how you can help me. I don't," because it was outside my paradigm. But she keeps asking and keeps asking. And one of these days, I'm going to think up something, you know. Because on the other side of that, you know, she would really like me to help around the house. She knows real clearly how I could help, you know, help her. Marriage is God's gift to you to form the image of Christ in your life and to lead you into living a life that's marked by love. Number three, we honor the unique way that God created us. 1 Peter 3, 1 and 2 and 7 and 8, these are verses that are read about marriage all the time, but they're read for a reason, because they give us real clear instructions. In the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands. In other words, honor your husbands. Then, even if some refuse to obey the good news, your godly lives will speak to them without any words. They will be won over by observing your pure and reverent life. Wow, that is a powerful statement there. That is talking about how honor will actually convert an unsaved man to see the ways of God. Can you imagine, wives, what would happen if you honored your husband who is already a believer? The difference that it would make in his life? In the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted and keep a humble attitude. Don't repay evil for evil. Honestly, until I read this time, hadn't thought about that verse in the context of marriage. I thought about it in other relationships. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and He will grant you His blessing. So why ultimately do you find yourself not honoring your differences in your marriage? Simply this, because you're not choosing to obey Jesus. Ephesians 5:21 says, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." Our marriages are a gift to us to deepen and demonstrate our love and respect for Jesus Christ. God is using our spouse, our relationship, these other people that challenge us and meet us in these places and that sometimes drive us crazy and drive us nuts. God is using that person to bring us into an eternal reward as a blessing to you. And so I want to invite you this morning to honor those differences, to see your spouse differently, to see this relationship as the incredible thing that God created it to be. It is a model for us. It is a formational place for us to learn what it looks like to live in relationship with God, for Him to express His goodness towards us, for us to learn the character of God, for us to experience the deepness and the richness of who He is by learning to value one another. Would you guys stand with me as we wrap up? I recognize in the room today that we're in relationships that are at all different levels, right? As I mentioned earlier, some are just getting started and some have been walking this road a long time. Some of us have relationships that are in a really healthy place because we've done a lot of hard work to get it there over the years. Others are in a relationship this morning that's broken and full of strife and full of issues that are going on. Here's what I do know. Wherever you're at this morning, God wants to meet you in that place, to meet you where you're at today, and to help you walk into the future towards a healthy marriage, towards receiving healing, towards receiving forgiveness, towards giving forgiveness. God is in a place, and this is a place, where we can receive restoration. And our prayer as a pastoral team is that our marriages at Harvest Christian Fellowship are model marriages to Christians all around the world because we've chosen to do the hard work of honoring our differences, of learning to love one another in spite of the different ways that God's made us, to overcome the obstacles and the challenges and the difficulties that we've found along our path, to learn how to forgive when we hurt each other, when we don't live in a godly way towards one another, to receive restoration and healing. And so I want to invite our prayer team to come this morning because, guys, these people have been praying for your marriages all week long. They have a heart to help you encounter God wherever you're at, good, bad, or ugly, along that path. They would love to pray with you, agree with you, pray God's best for you, pray healing and restoration for you, or just celebrate the goodness of God. Wherever you're at, you can receive prayer this morning from this incredible team because God wants to meet you where you're at today. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you this morning that you've called us into marriages that are incredible, relationships that cause us to grow in our understanding of who you are and our experience of you. God, we thank you that you have called us together in spite of our differences, and in a lot of ways because of our differences, because we grow through those times, that you haven't left us in places that we would flounder, that we would be undeveloped people, but you've invited us into these relationships so that we might become more complete, more whole, more fully developed men and women of God. So this morning, God, I pray that as your Spirit ministers to these people, to all of us, that you would remind us how loved we are by you and accepted by you no matter what, no matter where we're at in our marriages, that we can find healing and forgiveness and faith in you, and that we can take the next step forward in our marriage relationships to move towards becoming healthy and experiencing the goodness that you have for each and every one of us. God, we love you, we thank you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Guys, we're going to sing a song to close out our time this morning. I welcome you. Come and receive prayer this morning. These people are here for you. It's your opportunity to receive an encounter from God, a blessing from God for your marriage this morning. Let's sing together as Josh leads us.
God is always good. Yes, God is always good. What I sing on the mountain, I'll sing.